Scott and Peter back on 102.9 FM in Stouffville, whistlefm.com if you want to search us out, watch us live, and do that. I mean, you can do it from anywhere on this planet, and not to be concerned that you're in the size of the area, which is roughly Stouffville, isn't it, Jay? You can't go much beyond Stouffville to hear the program, can you?
Right, unless you go online, whistlefm.ca.
Actually, .ca is even better. But anyway, folks, make sure you try that, and then you can share that with your friends, and the whole world can know about Peter and his jail dealings. And I sent something out at the beginning of the show, a couple of things, and one of them was entitled Peter Talks, and he's talking.
Does he make any sense, though?
Well, I know he doesn't have any money, but but Peter, you're brought up in a very strong foundational type Christian home. You did as many people do, people with their own sense of determination and so on in life tend to rebel to some degree at some point, and you had your way of doing
that. Well, you know what? I should interrupt you. I had the best upbringing. My parents were Christians, but like we did everything. We lived on the lake. We water skied, went hunting and fishing. And a lot of people are like Bible thumpers, but my parents weren't. Just like I loved my parents. There was nothing. Anyway,
but you do it, and I know you did, and I know that's a big part of who you are, and that's why you're able to love the unlovable. And I'm sure your folks would have done that too, put in the same circumstances, So that's not a problem, and I agree with that totally. But a lot of what you guys did or weren't allowed to do or whatever it was, sat pretty tough on a guy, didn't it? I mean, when you're not. You never learn how to dance.
I was brought up in the Brethren Assemblies, and it was just a very small part of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And my parents, they did the best they could. They weren't, like my father was certainly exposed to great thinkers like Francis Schaeffer, and like I remember we were living in Nilliscord, he brought me down to Toronto to see Francis Schaeffer. Mm-hmm. And if anyone has read his books, he's just a great guy, and he's perhaps a bit controversial. You mentioned Larry Norman. Larry Norman was a Christian singer, but he, had long hair and everything, so he didn't go over well with the Christians. And actually, at one of the church where I was going to, whenever Larry Norman would come to town, I'd announce it to the young people, because I thought, like, I loved the guy. And so I got in trouble for even announcing that he would be coming to town. But my parents, on the other hand, I would play his music for them, and they were so open to it that they came to a Larry Norman concert with me one time, which was...
There was one condition, though. I remember you telling me something about that.
Yeah. Well, just for a joke, I was trying to take a picture of them, and my dad covered his face. He said, "I can't let anyone know I'm at a Larry Norman concert."
But your dad was a prominent businessman, though, too. I mean, he just ran a big corporate structure or something, didn't he? So, I mean, you can say what he did if you want. It doesn't matter.
I don't know what he did.
Don't you? But he ran like a, something like a telephone company or something along those lines anyway. And I'm thinking, you know, like, he was well exposed in a lot of ways. And it's interesting that a man could keep his ways like your dad did, you know, and simple things like caring for people, not swearing, going to church.
It was 24/7. He just wasn't my parents weren't just Sunday Christians.
Yeah.
You know, their whole life evolved around God and Christianity, and that's how we were brought up. And
yeah.
People who came into our home were aware of their position on everything.
Yeah.
And my dad was a businessman. And sometimes when people from out of town would come in, he'd have them to our place for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And he would share his belief in Christianity.
Wow.
You know, just like it meant so much to him.
Yeah.
He wanted everybody to know what he thought about life in general.
So in your terminology, he was the real deal.
Well, I think Scott Duncan's the real deal. My father was cool. And
He was the real deal. I mean, he was, you know, he was the upper part of the business structuring, and we don't have to say who or what he did, but the fact remains, in that position and mixing how you would have to mix just to get to that position, he was able to maintain his beliefs and live them and throughout, and never drink and never smoke and, you know, and so on. And I mean, that's in this life, it's pretty rare.
And not break the law. You know, some businesses tend to bend the law a bit.
Yeah, don't they? Yeah.
They'd never do that.
Well, Peter, if I were to say, include myself, how do we know we have God of any sort or semblance? I mean, and I'll give you a couple of ideas. Prayer power is something that, you know, a lot of people don't believe in, I think because they get caught up or hung up on, some special sort of televised evangelist's way of terminology used in the solicitation of prayer answers and stuff like that, as opposed to just talking to an entity as though that entity were sitting here, you know, with you and I and so on. But you've seen some answers to prayers, you know, I mean,
yeah, in your just life, you know, just recently, from hanging around sharing the burden and different Christians, I've been praying more than I used to, and I'm like, everything's in God's hands. Like, physically I have a disability, but it's just the way it is. I've never questioned God or anything, but just lately there's been a few examples in my life where I've done things that I wouldn't normally do, but I've just kind of said, okay, God, I got to do this, and it's up to you to make it happen, because, you know, with me, I wouldn't be able to. Just physically, things.
Well, like, give us an example of, you were telling me the other day, like, you never drive and are rarely driving. I mean, you picked me up this morning, too, which is another thing, but you had said, you know, there was a problem with someone, you know, a relative or something, and you had to get to somewhere.
Oh, yeah,
downtown.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't have a clue, in a way.
Well, it was hilarious. Someone was in downtown Toronto, and they needed something, so they phoned me up, and they said, I need you to bring this down to me. And it was late at night, you know, and I just never drive, but I just kind of said, okay, God, this is up to you, because I don't know what I'm doing. I just, you know, programmed the address in the car, and the little lady in the box got me there and got me back, and physically I was able to do it. And it was just, you know, yeah. It was one of those things, like if someone had asked me the day before to do that, I would have said, oh no, I'm not, I can't do that. Yeah.
But I mean, that's so, the case of you. So you stepped out on that, you know, you leaned forward, lifted the foot, and went, and it worked.
Yeah, it's like I believe God is real. I believe God is in charge of everything.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why a lot of things happen, but I believe God's in charge.
Yeah. Yeah, I fundamentally, I do too. It's interesting because we're in the jail last night. There was a lady and myself were in there, and we had a few guys out, a few guys in orange there, and we're talking about this very step, you know, this building a relationship with a God that you can understand, or the way you understand God. It's not so specific as religiosity might be, but anyway. So we're talking about that, and it's my turn to talk, and I'm saying, well, I honestly believe, just as Peter has just said, that you know, that the God of my understanding, or the way I understand God, put it that way, is that this entity is in charge of absolutely everything, you know, from beginning to end. And you know, and the big question jumps out: what about free will? And absolutely, we have free will, you know, as best we can understand it. We make decisions all day long, every day, and they're good, they're bad, they're indifferent. But then, you know, I agree with that. But is there not something greater? You know, is there not something greater who is able to put that whole thing together such that he, she, it, whatever it is, knows exactly what you're going to do with this thing that's so great to you, this free will, is not a big deal to that entity that puts it all together. So, you know, it doesn't take anything away from you. You can still think and dream and all these things. He just knows. That doesn't take anything away from anything. And then the lady on the way home would say to me, well, you know, because she lost some of the pallor in a sense in her face when I came out with this, because it sounded like I was refuting everybody in the room by saying, well, you know, and bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people, and if it weren't part of a plan, it would not be acceptable to me. If there was not an almighty entity, an almighty God, totally in control of everything, then there was nothing in control. And if there's nothing in control, and if this God or whomever, whatever it is, this bang or whatever, it got put together and just sort of happened, then what would happen to humanity, you know?
Yeah.
We're not big enough. We're not smart enough. Yeah. So, cancer, you got some cancer.
And you know, like basically our laws are built on the Ten Commandments, right? So that was, and like I have some physical problems now, and like it's the old story, well, if God's a good God and you're a Christian, why is this happening to you?
Yeah.
Well, why not me?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
What?
No, really. It's an excellent question.
It's why serious. And like, yeah. It's a big deal, but honestly, I have never questioned God.
No.
Because it's just, I'm a Christian, now I've got this, and That's what's going on.
Well, just know that we won't understand, and we'll take a break. Jay, would you look after us?
Yeah.
Time to come to your rescue. But, I think it's time for a song.
Good.
And we got a song going out to you, Peter, because I know you're a real man. And this one is called Real Men Love Jesus.
Oh, cool.
We're going to be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.
Real men love fishing, fast cars and living. Out on the edge so far, they're going to need forgiving. Real men like football, cowboys and outlaws. Can't help but fly so high, it's gonna hurt to fall. They light Saturday nights out on the town, Sunday morning coming down. A pretty girl out on the dance floor spinning round and round and round they go. A cold beer and a dirty hand, calling home every chance they can to say I love you. They don't need a reason. Real men love Jesus. They can get more than 40 hours, you know they're gonna. They give it hell till they get it right. The kind every country girl's trying to find. Every girl's daddy's kind of guy. Ain't scared to pray, ain't scared to fight. They light Saturday nights out on the town, Sunday morning coming down. A pretty girl out on the dance floor spinning round and round. They go, a cold beer and a dirty hand, calling home every chance they can to say I love you. They don't need a reason. Real men love Jesus. Real men love Jesus. They don't believe in leaving. When the going gets tough, they just keep on keeping. They light Saturday nights out on the town, Sunday morning coming down. A pretty girl out on the dance floor spinning round and round and round they go. A cold beer and a dirty hand, calling home every chance they can. Say I love you, they don't need a reason. Real men love Jesus. Real men love Jesus.